In Zawani's exciting new podcast series, The Monday Christian, we explore how the gospel narrative shapes our understanding of work, and there is so much to talk about. The 28 episodes cover topics such as how perspective shapes business culture and strategy, how to love God and others through our work, how eternity impacts work here and now, and the implications of faith and truth on business practice. But before we launch into all that, let us find out a bit more about your hosts, Paul Kim and Sib Sabanda, as well as the why behind the series.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique contexts on the African continent.
Welcome to the Monday Christian Podcast, where we'll be exploring how the gospel narrative shapes our understanding of work. I'm your host, Sibs Sabanda. I've spent most of my life in full-time church ministry as a pastor, but I'm now leading a small IT company. And my guest or conversation partner over the next 21 episodes is Paul Kim. Paul, great to have you here. So excited about all that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, likewise. Subs, it's been an interesting journey to get to this point. I've had many thoughts on how this would go and really enjoyed the sparring sessions that we've had. And very thankful to Mergon and Zawani for giving us this opportunity just to discuss.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
And that's really what we're going to be doing over this time, Paul, discussing things that you and I have been thinking about, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners for a long time. But before we launch into all of that, let's hear a bit about Paul Kim.
My parents came to South Africa in 89. My dad studied at the seminary here in Stellenbosch and master's, PhD, and then was asked to stay on as a missionary. And so we've been a missionary family ever since. I did all my schooling in Stellenbosch, Rhenish Primary, Paul Rus, University of Stellenbosch, and I studied actuarial science, but never really went into the field. I spent most of my career in entrepreneurship, in education technology, and then in financial services. Yeah, and 2020 September, had the opportunity to start a fund with two partners, Peter Vassafor and Loki Fenter. And it's just been a real blessing to figure out how do we serve entrepreneurs and increase the probability of their success from what is currently accepted 1 out of 10 to 9 out of 10, kind of moving from a evolutionary survival of the fittest view of entrepreneurship to saying every entrepreneur, every opportunity, every rand of capital is precious. How do we nurture it for God's glory? Happily married, Jill. It's I think 9 or 10 years this year. Yeah, I know. It's yeah, 9 years. And we live in Bellville, and she's a doctor, and we're looking to start a family soon.
Fantastic. As Paul mentioned earlier, he and I have had some sparring sessions or a lot of discussion. And one of the things, Paul, that I do know about you is that you are passionate about the relevance and application of the gospel in the workplace. Trace for us, if you would, the main contours of your spiritual journey and how you came to take such an interest in the intersection of spirituality and work.
Yeah, so just a disclaimer to the audience, Sibs is, I think, theologically trained. I am not. So just bear that in mind as you listen to us. Reflecting on my spiritual journey, on my walk with Jesus, it's quite interesting how fascinated that I've become with God's word and its relevance, because that was just not my experience growing up. I grew up in a Christian home, but really the gospel hit me in my matric year, went on a youth camp associated to my denomination back then, and my leaders of our little group just showed Jesus' love in such a practical way, and it started melting my heart. And in first or second year, I became a Christian. The church that I kind of got founded in, or called my home at the beginning, really taught me the importance of reading God's word. And so that was the genesis of that. But over time, life takes place and you learn different things about Christianity. And the second big thing I realized, that was probably the period 2008 to 2010, is how God is sovereign over everything. And so there were three big mistakes I made in my third year, my fourth year, and then kind of the year after that, studying, working, and entrepreneurship. Major failures in all three sequentially. And that really just brought me to my knees and to help me to understand God is sovereign on all of this. As I dove deep into entrepreneurship, so that was, let's call it 2010 onwards, I sensed a growing incongruency with what I was hearing in church and what I was experiencing as an entrepreneur. So as an entrepreneur, you're excited to solve problems, come up with solutions, serve clients, impact lives, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But then you go into church and you hear what is being taught, the culture around it, and you start sensing that you're a second-rate citizen. The calls to up front are for people to come into ministry, and that's what's special, and that's what's elevated, and that's what's important. What's taught to equip you in work or business is it's an opportunity to share Christ. It's an opportunity to earn money, to give away to ministry. It's an opportunity to obviously put food on the table for your family. And those are all good things, but those are the fruits of entrepreneurship or right. the fruits of good work. They don't actually speak to the essence of work in and of itself. And my search led me to Tim Keller, his book on work and faith, Every Good Endeavor. Just opened my eyes to actually, you know what? The Bible does address this.
Right.
And it addresses it in a way that really resonates with the depth of what's in your heart. And so that has been a very exciting journey for me as I've climbed into that world and other authors have really spoken into my life. And I've become excited again about being a Christian and understanding what it means to be a Christian in work and in entrepreneurship. And most recently, through some, again, challenges in my life, I've really begun to dive deeply into how relationships work in God's kingdom. Vulnerability, trust, accountability. And then more broadly speaking, and I think we're going to get into this a little bit later on, what is the overarching model of life that the Bible puts forward? And that's been something I've been chewing on for a very long time, because all of these components have to fit into some bigger picture that makes sense of your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like new creation, Jesus's resurrection, and so on and so forth. The pieces are slowly but surely falling into place, and it's given me a lot more confidence in my faith as a Christian to live out my life and to be able to express what Christ means to me in the area of work, business, yeah. food, exercise, and so on and so forth.
Fantastic. And I look forward to unpacking all of these thoughts in the episodes up ahead. But that leads us quite naturally into the who and why of this podcast. So when you came up with this title, The Monday Christian, which I really like, by the way, who did you have in mind as your audience? And why do you believe the things we'll be discussing should matter to them?
A couple of years ago, as I was on this journey, someone referred me to Dorothy Sayers, who, if I remember correctly, lived in the early 1900s or 20th century and was a great poet. But she wrote some interesting essays, and the one essay was on work. And there's a quote that I like to read from that to express what I was experiencing. So here it goes. In nothing has the church so lost her hold on reality as in her failure to understand and respect the secular vocation. She has allowed work and religion to become separate departments and is astonished to find that as a result, the secular work of the world is turned to purely selfish and destructive ends, and that the greater part of the world's intelligent workers have become irreligious or at least uninterested in religion. But is it astonishing? How can anyone remain interested in a religion which seems to have no concern with 9/10 of his life? The church's approach to an intelligent carpenter is usually confined to exhorting him not to be drunk and disorderly in his leisure hours and to come to church on Sundays. What the church should be telling him is this, that the very first demand that his religion makes upon him is that he should make good tables.
I like that.
And it's just, if you chew through that, you realize how different it is from what you hear typically in pulpits. Kelly has a funny version of this, which is, you know, if you're a Christian pilot, the first thing you need to do as a Christian pilot is to land the plane. That is, you don't have to declare Jesus on the intercom. Just yeah. land the plane first. What she says there kind of captured what I was sensing as an entrepreneur. And I've already expressed that, but it leaves you to a point where do I pick up something else to believe? Because what Christianity is telling me is doesn't make sense of what I'm seeing. Or do I relegate myself to a second-rate citizen in God's kingdom because I'm not in full-time ministry? And that's just not a place that the Bible actually leaves you in. And so it's been very interesting to go through that experience. And I know there are a lot more business people out there who are Christians who are experiencing this. And so this is for them, the people that are feeling this disconnect and want to know if Christianity is just limited to what has been taught in the pulpit or if the Bible has anything more to say to that.
Yeah. And it's true, Paul, that for many Christians, there is this very real disconnect between Sunday and Monday, between our private lives and our public engagements. Just give us some highlights on your thoughts on perhaps the cause and maybe point towards the cure. And I say point to because we've got many episodes coming up where we can unpack this, but just whet our appetites.
Simply, it's theological in nature. Obviously, there's different levels to this problem, but I think it starts off with theology is restraining our view of life. And what I mean with that is this idea of a two-part gospel, starting off with you are sinful and then ending off with Jesus has died on the cross to save you. And it's not an issue of heresy. This is biblical truth, but it's not the whole truth. And what happens is when you strip out a part away from its holistic design, you lose the value of almost everything. Internal combustion engine, remarkable engineering feat. If you take it out of its car, it's a great thing, but it actually loses its value as a device or as an engine. And in the same way, unless you read the whole Bible and understand the biblical story, things are true, but they're not really at the same impact as what it would have been if it was told in the biblical story. So the four-part gospel is what I believe the Bible portrays or puts forward: creation, then the fall, and the fall of everything, not just my individual spirituality or my individual state, redemption, and again, redemption in the individual and the holistic sense, and then fourthly, renewal, consummation, a renewed earth that is to come,
right?
That will fix everything that's wrong with the world. And I believe that's where the starting point of this problem is, that we're not teaching the Bible faithfully in its holistic sense.
Yeah, I've heard that referred to the two-chapter gospel versus the four-chapter gospel. And I think that's such helpful terminology. And we'll be taking time to unpack that in the episodes ahead. And I know I mentioned earlier, I spent a lot of my adult years as a pastor, and I got to a point where I had to ask myself the question, how much of what I'm teaching on Sunday is actually connecting with what people are doing on Monday? And hopefully, as we explore these themes of theology and the practice of it, that this is really going to help our listeners to join those dots. Well, thank you for whetting our appetites, Paul. I've spoken to many Christians who are in this space of grappling for gospel relevance and purpose in their work, and I'm really looking forward to exploring this further with you in the 20 episodes up ahead. But for now, we're going to end off here until the next one.
Awesome. Thanks, Sibs.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.